Owar jinked back and followed the ridge towards the south, keeping just below the crest, driving the women as hard as they could run heavily, laden, over the rough footing. He would not allow them to rest, although Santen was beginning to tire badly, and pleaded with him over her shoulder. In the middle of the afternoon he allowed them to drop their satchels and sprawl on the rocky slope while he scurried on down to reconnoitre the contact line of the sands and the calcrete intrusion for a point at which to make the crossover. Halfway down, he paused and sniffed. Picking up the faint stench of carrion, he turned aside and found the carcass of an old zebra stallion. Reading the sign, Owa saw that hunting lions had caught him as he crossed the ridge and dragged him down. The kill was weeks old. The tatters of skin and flesh had dried hard, and the bones were scattered among the rocks. Owa searched quickly and found all four of the zebra's feet intact. The hyena had not yet crunched them to splinters. With a clasp knife, he prized the horny sheath of the actual hooves from the bony mass of the metatarsals and hurried back to fetch the women. He led them down to the edge of the soft ground and knelt in front of Santen.
"I will take Namchild off and then come back for you," he told Hani as he bound the hoof sheaths to Santan's feet with Sansevieria twine.
"We must hurry, old grandfather. They could be close behind us."
Hani sniffed the light breeze anxiously and cocked her head towards each small forest sound.
"Who are they?"
Santan had recovered not only her breath, but her curiosity and reason.
"Who is chasing us? I haven't seen or heard a thing. Are they people like me, Owa? Are they my people?"
Swiftly, Hani cut in before Owa could reply.
"They are black men, big black men from the north, not your people."
Although she and Owa had both seen the white man at the edge of the glade, when they looked back from the ridge, they had reached agreement in a few words that they would keep Namchild with them.
"Are you sure, Hani?"
Santan teetered on the zebra hooves, like a little girl in her first high-heeled shoes.
"They were not pale-skinned like me."
The dreadful possibility that she was fleeing from her rescuers had suddenly occurred to her.
"No, no."
Hani fluttered her hands in extreme agitation. The child was so close to birth. To witness that moment was the last thing in her life that she still cared about.
"Not pale-skinned like you."
She thought of the most horrific being in San mythology.
"They are big black giants who eat human flesh." "Cannibals?"
Santan was shocked.
"Yes, yes, that is why they pursue us. They will cut the child from your womb and..." "Let's go, Owa," Santan gasped. "Hurry, hurry!"
Owa, with the other pair of hooves strapped to his own feet, guided Santan away from the ridge, walking behind her and creating the illusion of zebra having left the rocky ground and wandered away into the forest. A mile from the ridge, he hid Santen in a clump of thorny scrub, removed the hooves from her feet, reversed the pair upon his own feet, and set off back to fetch Hani. The two San, each of them wearing hoof sandals, tracked back along the same trail, and when they reached Santan's hiding place, discarded their hooves, and all three of them fled into the east. Owa kept them going all that night, and in the dawn, while the women slept exhausted, he circled back on their trail and guarded it against the possibility that the pursuers had not been deceived by his ruse with the zebra hooves. Although he could discover no evidence of pursuit, for three more days and nights he force-marched, allowing no cooking fires, and used every natural feature to anti-track and hide their trail. On the third night he was confident enough to tell the women,
"We can make fire,"
and by its ruddy, wavering light he danced with dedicated frenzy and sang the praise of the spirits in turn, including Mantis and Elant, for, as he explained seriously to Santen, it was uncertain who had aided their escape, who had directed the wind to carry the warning sent to them in the first place, and who had subsequently placed the zebra carcass so conveniently to hand.
"It is necessary, therefore, to thank them all."
He danced until moonset, and the next morning slept until sunrise. Then they resumed the familiar leisurely pattern of march, and even halted early that first day when Owa discovered a colony of spring hare.
This is the last time we can hunt. The spirits are most insistent. No man of the Sand may kill any living thing within 5 days' march of the place of all life, he explained to Santan, as he selected long, whippy saplings of the Griwia bush, peeled them and lashed them together until he had a strong, flexible rod almost 30 feet long. On the final section, he left a side branch that grew back at an acute angle to the main stem, like a crude fishhook, and he sharpened the point of this hook and hardened it in the fire. Then he spent a long time carefully examining the burrows of the springhare colony before selecting one which suited his design. While the women knelt beside him, he introduced the hooked end of the rod into the opening of the burrow, and like a chimney sweep, worked it gently down the shaft, deftly guiding it around the subterranean curves and bends until almost the entire length was down in the earth. Suddenly the rod pulsed strongly in his hands, and immediately Owa struck, jerking back like a hand-line fisherman who feels the pull of the fish. "He is kicking at the rod now, trying to hit it with his back legs," Owa grunted, pushing the rod deeper into the hole, tempting the trapped springhare to kick at it again. This time, as he struck, the rod came alive in his hands, kicking and twitching and jerking. "I have hooked him!" He threw his weight back on the rod, driving the sharpened wooden point deeper into the animal's flesh. "Dig, honey, dig, Namchild!" The two women flew at the soft, friable earth with their staves, digging down swiftly. The muffled shrieks of the hooked spring hare grew louder as they came nearer to the end of the long gaff, until finally Owa heaved the furry creature clear of its earth. It was the size of a large yellow cat, and it leaped about wildly on the end of the pliant rod on its powerful kangaroo back legs until Hani dispatched it with a swinging blow of her stave. By nightfall they had killed two more spring hare, and after they had thanked them, they feasted on the sweet, tender roasted flesh, the last they would eat for a long time. In the morning, when they set out again on the final leg of the journey, a sharp, hot wind blew into their faces.